In the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 47. And afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought me he me out of the way of the gate northward, led me about the way without under the utter gate, and by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many, or very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fishes because the water shall come thither, and they shall be healed. And everything that liveth whether the river cometh, everything shall live where the river cometh. I preached to us just a little while here this morning on God's provision for victorious living. I believe that I saw something here. You probably already did, but I hadn't. I believe I saw something in Ezekiel 47 that contains some very vital truths that'll go a long way toward answering these questions of the last days. Why are we so dry? How can we believe so much and seem to experience so little? It seems that we have men with heads that are full, but hearts that are empty. There are many who know the Word of God, but who do not know the God of the Word. I think as Brother Carl and I that were talking last night, we've got some great orators, some great speakers. I've often wondered how that men can claim to be prophetic teachers, and how they can dissect and place in every little hole everything that it goes and explain it so well, and yet it seems to have no influence upon the way they live. I think I told Brother Carl, I said, Brother Carl, they can preach it, they can explain it, they can do a great oratory. But there's one thing you can't fake, my friend. You can't fake the burden. And when it's all said and done, the burden is what'll break the chain and fill an altar. But I see in this prophetic chapter things that there's some resources here that God has given to us that we might live victorious lives even in a dark and dangerous day like we're living in. How are we going to make it? The answer is in the river. I read a story one time during the Civil War. There was some rebel boys that got caught and put in prison. And they were going to try to break out. And they realized that when you broke out, they broke out the dogs and the shotguns. And they'd seen what had happened to those that the dogs got to. And they brought them back. But they couldn't stay there. Something inside of them said, I've got to try. And so two of those old boys broke out. And they got to running. And they was running back toward the lines. Back toward safety. It wasn't long till they could hear in the background the bay of the old hounds, the barking of the dogs. They ran harder, and the harder they ran, the tarter they got, and the closer the dogs got. They was about to give up when they topped over a little rise, and there was the river. They ran down to that river, it said, and they plunged into the river. The river was running swift. They fought their way to the middle and just give up and let the river carry them away. Them dogs came down there, but that was as far as they could come. They had found safety in the river. There is a river. Amen. Amen. This book, this Bible that I'm talking about here, or preaching from here, this book has used rivers for examples and lessons for the Holy Ghost, for victorious living. The Bible, the people of the Bible, especially the East people, when they read this prophecy, they understood it because they understood the value of water. You folks that farm in this country, I know you've had too much rain this year, but you understand the need of irrigation. You understand that there's no life without the water. Amen. There would not have been many great cities that rose up and ruled the world, the early world, had it not been for a river. You see, London has the Thames. Egypt has the Nile. Rome was built by the Tiber. And the difference that a river makes, oh, I just felt the Lord breathe on me. The difference the river makes is between a desert and a garden. Between barrenness and fruitfulness. The Bible talks much about rivers as to bring forth spiritual truth, springs of water, wells of salvation, showers of blessings, floods on the dry ground. In the wilderness there shall be water, break out streams in the desert. The psalmist said, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of our God. Ah, there is a river. That I want to tell us today, there's still a river, and that is pure and crystal. It's as long as eternity. Amen. And Ezekiel said, everything shall live where that river comes. In the New Testament, Jesus said, amen, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. A river transforms barrenness into fruitfulness, deserts into gardens. And where the river comes out from the throne of God and flows into the heart, Jesus spake, he said, of the Spirit which had not yet been given. But I believe that it's, hallelujah, I believe if we can get this river right here I'm talking about, amen, to keep flowing through this meeting. Seemed to me like this morning sometime, amen, I could see that bubbling up over yonder on top of the mountain. Seemed like I could just feel, amen, that river's been, we've had some showers of blessing. We've had some handfuls on purpose. But I have lived, amen, and I have seen the Shekinah glory of God flowing like a river through a congregation. I've seen it when it flowed in on the right side of the tabernacle in Bond, Kentucky, flowed down there with 800 people in there, flowed across the front and swept back across there. They probably wasn't 20 people left standing on their feet. Those chairs were kicked and piled and raised because the glory of God come. My God, today, if we can get this river to flow, and that's why we've been preaching about it. Amen. We've been praying about it. We've been shouting toward it. But if we can get that river and going to flow in among us today, I don't know what God might do. Oh, for a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. If I can get this river, if we can get this river to flow in through this meeting today, it'll heal every barren desert, transform every garden of your life. It'll bring new life to homes. What are you talking about? This river that I'm talking about, I want to first, real quickly, I want you to look at the source of this river. For this river comes forth out from the throne of God. Now a river can never ever flow higher than its source. The Holy Ghost came down from the throne. I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter. There ain't a doubt in my mind that I ain't seen him. But he's sitting at the right hand of God. You know why? Because I got the comforter he promised he'd send back. And it's living in my soul right now. And quickening this 300 pounds. Amen, a preacher. Right now. The source of this river is God Almighty. Amen. We must realize that it's got to come from the throne. It's got to come from the throne. They say sometimes you work it up. Sometimes you try to get something going. No, sir. If it doesn't flow from the throne, it's not real. Amen. But what we need right now in the holiness movement is a Holy Ghost interruption. Amen. We need an artesian well. Amen. To burst out of the throne of God and flow through us again. Amen. And wash the filth and the dirt and the trash and the uncleanness. Amen. And the hindrances out of the movement and have a genuine Holy Ghost move of God in our midst. Amen. The source of our river is God Almighty. To keep my old brain from going into mush, I started, besides my studying for my preaching and our personal devotions of reading the Bible through and now together, I started a study again the other day in the book of Ephesians. And I, for my own personal study, and I, at the rate I'm going, it'll probably take me a year. But I hadn't read very far on that first day when I kicked back from the desk and said, hallelujah. For I read where he said, and he orders all things after the counsel of his own will. Hey, hey, hey. You say we can't have a revival. How you gonna stop it? Amen. How you gonna stop revival? How can 10,000 devils stop it? When God lets loose, amen, this almighty power, amen, from the very throne room of God, and it begins to pour down through us. Amen. There is no stopping. He is God, and besides him, there is no God. He is sovereign. He ain't never had a committee to ask their opinion. He just speaks, and it happens. Then look at the course of the river. I gotta hurry. This is the course of this river. It flows outward from the altar. If we're gonna have this river flowing through us, we're gonna have to come to the altar. For that's where it starts at. Mastering the art of prayer takes time. And the amount of time we allot to prayer is the true measure of our conception in our own hearts of how important it is. I was in Richlands, Virginia some years ago in the morning, Sunday morning service. And in that Sunday morning preliminary service, Brother Frank Boyd, an old coal miner that had been a right hand of that meeting for that church for years and years. They asked Frank Boyd to pray that morning. That old man stood up. Even then, he's having to labor with those coal mining lungs. He stood up and he began to pray. Oh, God. In the fly leaf of my Bible, I wrote the date. And I said, this morning, I heard a man pray. I made my way to Frank Boyd. That meeting was over. I said, Brother Frank, I want to ask you something, if you'll do it for me. He said, why, Brother Johnny, I'd do anything I could for you. You know that. Brother Frank Boyd was Brother Roger Boyd's daddy. I said, Brother Frank, I said, would you pray for me every day? I said, would you call my name when you go to your altar every day? He looked at me and he said, Brother Johnny, I'll do it. And I'll tell you, I feel like a lot of things that might not have been accomplished if old Brother Frank had not, after he ate his breakfast in the morning, scooted back from the table and said, now, children, it's time to pray. Brother Roger said, when I was working over there at home, I'd run by and eat breakfast with Mom and Dad and said, I don't care how busy I was. Dad said, now we're going to pray. And he said, Brother Johnny, he said, when the Spirit of God got to coming in there, he got to praying. Said, I heard him call your name. Amen. Amen. There's a few people that I've met in my life that knew how to pray. You know what the disciples did when they heard Jesus? They didn't say, teach us how to work miracles. Teach us how to walk on the water. Teach us how to break bread. Said, teach us how to pray. Oh, the source, amen, is the throne of God, and the course must flow through our altars into our hearts and through our lives to nurture the others. And we must one time again learn how to pray. Hell fears one old sanctified mama on her arthritic knees with bony hands reached up that knows how to touch God, but he fears all. That wicked, vile woman, Queen Mary of Scots, said, I fear the prayers of that preacher more than all the armies of England. I'm more afraid of him praying. Amen. Amen. There's a source in this river. Amen. That it starts flowing through you. And he said, out of your innermost being, out of your heart of hearts, amen, that river bursts out and begins to flow. Frank Boyd was a praying man. But you know something? He come down to die. And it's going to be a little while. It's any time now he's going. I don't know how many preachers there was together in the room around him. I don't know how many of us across the country. I couldn't go. I would have been there if I could have. We was praying. They called us on the phone. They said, Brother Frank just called the preachers around. Said he's tired and they wanted to go home. So he took his oxygen off. And said he throwed it away, put his hand back behind his head, and just stood there, sat there waiting. He said, we've been praying, so we've called people to pray. Said after a while, so he looked at us, said, brethren, said I said, you ain't never seen nothing like this, have you? He said, all you brethren are praying? And he said, I'm ready. Roger slipped out of the room and called Brenda. Brenda was home with his mama, who was bedfast. He said, Brenda, Dad's wanting to go. He said, Roger, said your mama's over here in the bed of praying. And said, she's praying for Dad. Said, she's praying for to hold on. So they carried the phone in there. Laid it up beside of his head. And she got there and they could communicate. And he talked a little sweet words, you know, and a few things. Yeah. And he said, I'm tired, baby. I won't go home. She said, well, if that's what you want, just go on. Power of prayer, that one old crippled woman laying there, the love of God and the love for a husband, amen, bound every prayer we could pray. We couldn't outpray her until she let him go. We couldn't pray. I'm talking about the source and the force. Oh, God. Amen. God help us. No man will ever be bigger than his prayer life. And I know that you can't spend all your time on your knees, but you can be in a prayerful mood. Amen. The altar is the place of death, and therefore we stay away from it. But I fear there is so little life in our churches today because there's so little death in our people. For Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I've died with him. God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross by which I have been crucified to the world and the world unto me. I'll tell you how to overcome that temptation, son. When the devil cast your eyes on that seductive, just picture that crucified. A bloody, beaten, stinking, rotten, bloody mess. Because that's what sin is. Amen. The Holy Ghost is desperately needed, but never given, except in answer to an utter, absolute, and complete repentance and surrender. You know, we used to have a conviction in our country. When folks got convicted, you mean when revival was breaking out and people was going to the altar, they didn't go and join the church. They didn't shake the preacher's hand. When they met you on the road, they'd say, I heard you started going to the altar last night. One man and his boss knew it. One man worked for the Inland Company there in Ohio, part of the division of Chevrolet, and he took a grease gun home with him. And his boss knew it. But you know what? When he went, got to going to the altar and got to praying and got to seeking the face of God, he said, every time I'd get down, said, that grease gun come in front of me. And he said, I went to my boss the next morning and said, I've been going to the altar. I've took to going to the altar. He said, that grease gun's between me and the altar. So I'm bringing it back in here and turning it in. And he said, don't you do that. He said, I'm going to. He said, well, give it to me. He said, well, all I'm worried about is getting it off my conscience. He said, I took that grease gun in that morning. I went to church that night. I went into the altar. The grease gun wasn't there, but the Holy Ghost was. My big old first cousin left the hills of Kentucky owing $40 to the grocery store. A rather large sum of money in a few years ago. And old Mr. Pryor just wrote him a real nice letter and said, Charles, I'd appreciate anything you could help us, would be able to help and let's pray. Charles wrote him back. Said, I ain't never paying you. But you know what? Charles went to go into the altar. And he got to praying. What's happened to making restitution? Now, I know I'm getting on dangerous ground here, but that's all right, you know. Somebody said I'm in deep water, but I can tread water. There's one advantage to being as fat as I am. You can float. I near got some boys. I near got some boys drowned that didn't. They want me to get in that pool with them, and they told me it's 10 foot deep. I just walked down the chalet and walked all the way down to the diving board and said, my boy, it's just right here. So I know how to tread water. Charles went to go into the altar. He took that $40. He put it in there. He said, Brother Parrott, I'm going to the altar. I feel like I got my kind of get my sins on the blood. I want to get sanctified. I want to get the Holy Ghost. And says, I'm sending you this money. And said, if there's any interest on that at all, said, just let me know. I'll send it too. Amen. Amen. Oh, there is a river. It seemed like I can hear it high on the mountain. Amen. I can hear the rushing of it on the mountain. There is nothing more powerful than a tide. If you ain't never lived in the mountains, you ain't never seen a tide. I mean, in the spring, when it busts out, that little stream that you could jump across yesterday is 50 feet of holler from one side to the other. You go down as far as close as you can get to the main river, and all you see is that little old Mill Creek, and now it's 50 or so, 100 yards wide, rolling high, big trees uprooted and going down there like toothpicks. There's a saying that I use sometimes about fellers. They ask me about him. They say, what do you think about so-and-so? I say, he'll do to ride the river with. Because you see, back before, just before my time when Bond and Foley was all that Jackson County was, and before them, before they got all the way up there, they outlogged all summer and winter and got those logs laying down over the creek. And when the flood came, they rolled them in the creek until the creek was full of them. Until them old boys that knew what they was doing would walk them logs and keep them and guide them and keep them log jamming all the way into Livingston. And if you lost your footing and went down, it was a dangerous thing. And a man that would dare to try to save you, they'd say, that's a man right there. He'll do to ride the river with. Amen. So that's what I'm saying when I say he'll do to ride the river with. Amen. But there is a force of this river less than a mile from its origination. It was so deep that you couldn't wade it nor swim. Had to swim in it. Amen. And it didn't have one thing added from inside. There wasn't one little branch running from anywhere. Not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit. The Holy Ghost don't need nothing to help him. Amen. He just needs you to get out of the way and let him move through you. And there's nothing that can stop this force. A Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized church is the most dangerous and awesome weapon that ever God took in his right hand. It's more powerful than the bomb. Amen. the force of this river, no other source added to it. The depth of this river. I'm hurrying, I promise. The depth of this river. You know, the problem we got right now, we got too many shallow experiences. We got too many people that pray till they feel better, but they don't pray through to a born-again experience. When they say goodbye, world, goodbye. You know, when I first went back in the mountains after I left the mountains and went out to another country because it just, well, everybody thought I ought to. But when I come back home, I got saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, called to preach. And I went among them old saints. There wasn't a lot of young saints, but I mean, the church has about died out in our country. The Holy Spirit movement had about died out. I mean, there's a little bunch here, and they were so small in that one community that they'd have a first Sunday, a second Sunday, a third Sunday, a fourth Sunday, and a fifth Sunday, and about the whole same congregation. But I remember among them old saints, and when we got to having revival, and folks got to praying, the first thing that old Brother Mill would do, he'd get over on top of them, and he'd get them, and he'd say, "Kill him, Lord! Let him die right here!"
Yes, sir.
I thought, now, brother, he's been a rascal, but kill him on the altar? Give him a chance, man. I didn't understand what he was saying. Do you know what he's talking about? He said, God, don't let him get up off this altar till he dies out to himself, till he dies out to sin, till he dies out to carnality. When he gets up, he'll come up with a clean shirt. Yes. Amen. Amen. Too shallow in the experience. He said he measured and it went to the ankles. Paul wrote to the church and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he said, there's some things I'd like to tell you. There's some experiences you'd like to get, but you're a bunch of babies. All you want to do is kick around with the tadpoles and the crawdads and cry. We've got some that's as far as they've ever got. They're selfish. They're always crying about something. They're always waiting on somebody else to feed them and take care of them. When you get out there to the ankles, I'm glad you're there. But they're still more self than they are Christ there. I do believe that there is another experience subsequent to justification. I don't care if you're progressive or definite or definitely progressive or whatever you are. You get it. And don't you let your definite progressive doctrine use it as an excuse to keep throwing your temper tantrums and acting like you did before you ever prayed the first time. Hello. Water then, he said, he measured again. And there was water to the knees. Now when God gets us on our knees, he's about to get us where he can help us. He measured again and it went to the loins. Loins are the strongest muscles in your body. And when that becomes surrender to the will of God, you can say, standing on the promises. Standing on the promises. Amen. Amen. And then he said, waters to swim in. Now you're getting to the place that I'm seeing more of him than I am you. The effect of this river flowing, when it's flowing freely, everything it touches lives. There's healing in the flow of this water. Homes can be healed. Churches are healed. Lives are healed. Relationships are changed. When the river flows unhindered, fruitful life follows. Lord, you have promised me the power of Pentecost, and I want it for me. We're going to pray a little bit, I think we need to. I read this story. I've read it in two or three different places, and mostly true, probably. But the story goes something like this. There was, in those early days of pioneer days, when the wagon trains, the covered wagons, were making their way across the prairie. When they were going to a better country trying to find a promise, The story is that one of those wagon trains had been traveling down, and a spring that was supposed to be there wasn't. And now they were on a vast prairie. They've been traveling for a good while, and it's about to run out of water. The master of the wagon train looked at the man that was the scout for that train, and he said, I want you to take the best horse we got left, and I want you to ride. Ride 3 days. And if you don't find water, don't bother coming back. Because after 3 days, we ain't going to make it. And so he took out early that morning, and he rode all day and all night. He rested a little and rode again another day. No water, just a dry prairie. And then early on the third morning, he looked way in out there, and there was a strip that seemed to be a strip of green. And he rode toward it, and he found a river flowing wide and deep. He drank all he could drink, fixed his horse all he could drink, got a canteen, and he turned and rode as back as he could, as hard as he could. And he got back to by this time the train had inched along like it could, but it was still probably a day and a half away from deliverance. He told him where that river was at. The wagon master called all those people together. And he said, now our stock's in bad shape. Our horse is in bad shape. He said, we've got one chance and one only. He said, we're going to throw out everything that we can throw out of our wagons. Now, I know you brought Mama's china all the way across the ocean in that old trunk, but you better leave it here. I know that old cast iron cook stove has been, you depended on having it near there, but you better leave it here. There was tears, there was wailing, and there was crying as men and women emptied out everything they could empty out of their wagons. They got everything they could empty out. They laid everything that weighed anything out, left it on the desert because they had one chance. And they was going to run for the river. And they let out to run. They let out to get their horses. The old captain said, if we can just get them close enough so them lead mules to smell that water. And so they'll pull the rest of them on. So just drive. And so they let out driving. But they noticed that one wagon kept dropping back. No time to stop. It's our lives. It's our children. And on they went, staggering, weak, but plunging into the water. Saved. Plunged into the water. Saved. After they were all refreshed, they noticed that one wagon had fell back. The man didn't come on. Early the next morning, they sent a scouting party back. A fresh team. They got back there and they found the mule, the old horses dead in the harness. They found the old man and his family. Scattered out. All of them gone. No life there. They buried him on the prairie. Took him old mules out of the harness and put fresh ones in. Going to take the wagon on. And they noticed when they hooked to it, it had an inordinate weight to it. And they kept looking around. And that old wagon had a false bottom in it. And he had gold in the bottom of that false bag. And he wouldn't throw it down or leave it on the side of the road. Holy Kila Niyosataramaya. I feel like telling you right now that we, right here in this place, I don't know if you can hear the sound of it or not, but I feel like we need to run to the river. I feel like we need to break a break right here after all we've heard about heaven. We've shouted and rejoiced. I feel like we need to make a break for the river right here this morning. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can't get what I'm talking about if you hold on to one thing. And that one thing that God, it may look mighty little to you, but that man held his gold and lost his family. What are you going to hold on to? What will it cost you to not run to the river this morning? We got one chance, brother. Hey, man, we're hot, we're dry, we're stumbling along, we're fighting battles, we can't win. But if we'll get up out of our seats and make a run to the river this morning. Seemed like as I'm praying, I can see somebody break out, amen, right here in this meeting and make a run. Amen, it's time to go to run to the river and plunge in. Stand with me. Amen. There's a river. There's a fountain open right now. I believe we can come around these altars right now. I believe you can make a run for the river. Amen. Right around these altars right now. And I believe you can run out of some things. You might run out of that sickness. You might run out of that dry place. Amen. Make a run for the river this morning. Come on, make a run for it. Amen. Amen. That little boy in the white jacket, give me some running music on that piano, would you? I don't want no funeral dirge now. I want some running music. Hallelujah. Church, come on. I feel God moving around here. I think we're fixing to make a breakthrough right here. Hey, man, you've been a fighting it all week long. You've been a looking for it all week long. I believe it's a fixing to happen right now. Yeah, and right now, in this day service, contrary to what goes on. Oh, yes, come on. That's right, come on.